I don't know what happened over the weekend, but it was some early November NBA basketball. Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, the sports ethos presentation hosted by yours truly, Aaron Brewski, running solo. So no FSWA Hall of Famer Steve Dr. A. Alexander, no inventor of fantasy basketball Rick Camlett, just yours truly. And this is actually, for me personally, it's a good thing. I love doing the pod with the guys, and they make it so much better. But in terms of just plowing through an entire weekend's worth of NBA action and getting you guys ready to understand what's occurred, and then later on today, I'll do a show looking forward at tonight's 15-game slate. There's just like 5 million things going on in the NBA. So I want to actually just jump right into it. And then if you guys have questions, get into our Discord. That's located in the show notes. The show notes will, the Discord will be a great place for you guys to get used to. You can get your questions answered in Discord. Our premium subscribers, we do a bunch of special stuff for you guys in there, including giving you guys priority treatment on these questions. So get into the Discord, figure it out, and you get your questions answered. Then today I'll do the questions in the second show because we do have a lot of ground to cover. There are some 20 games that we're going to go through here. So let's get right to it. Schedule-wise, though, just to hit this real quick before we get right to it. That doesn't make much sense, but we have two episodes per day. We've got special segments, buy low, sell high, the week ahead. We're going live every Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, and then at night, Sports Ethos After Dark, with Doc and Rick, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And as our sponsor would love us to do, let's pay some bills here. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for online betting. From the earliest odds to live in-game betting, BetOnline provides you with all the action, the ability to watch the games as they happen. The largest selection of odds on everything from football, NBA, NHL, to political props. Head to BetOnline today to get in the action with America's most trusted site for online wagering. BetOnline, the game starts here. Okay, nice and warmed up, ready to go. Get my games up on my screen here. I'm going to look back at Friday's games. We got four teams that didn't play over the weekend, and they are the Knicks, the Lakers, the Bulls, and the Pacers. And this has happened a couple times already this season where these big market teams didn't play over the weekend. Not sure what that is, but we'll just roll with it. The things that I noticed in the box scores, we had an OG Anunoby sighting as well as a Mikal Bridges sighting at the same time against the Pistons, my Pistons, the 1-5 Pistons who got a win over the weekend. So thank you guys for that. The question being with this New York squad is, can Bridges and Anunoby step into a productive role because the Knicks need them to, and maybe more importantly, fantasy GMs would love them to do that, which they have done. And Bridges especially has been consistent. He had 15.7 boards, 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 3 threes. Starting to get Mikal Bridges lines of old. And hey, wouldn't you know it, we don't see film of that shot anymore. So there's an example of don't get riled up in week one for you there. Anunoby 21-4-6 with 2 steals and 3 trays. I want to see more of this. I skipped on Anunoby. I've kind of faded him for a year now. And if he could be this good, he will be right and I will be wrong, but I'm still not moved entirely. I would consider this to be a sell high moment, but I think that he's very well positioned to have a nice season. He's just got to be the one that walks through the door and stays healthy. Cat 21-11-7 with 2 steals and a block and 3 triples. So he and Brunson starting to get some rhythm here. 36 points and 5 assists, 2 steals for Brunson, 6 threes. Cat shooting over 50% on passes from Brunson in some segment of the last game or two. I don't know. But the point is that the chemistry is there. And Josh Hart 13-9-4 with 2 steals and a 3. So the entire box did well. It was a 128-98. Win. Keep this in mind. Detroit still trying to find themselves. New York was really trying to find themselves, and they came in super motivated to win this game and go up to 3-2 to kind of right the ship a little bit in New York, and they really needed that. So that was low-key important for them in this game. We'll talk about Detroit in the weekend games, and let's move on to Chicago, where we have, some clicks here. Got to get to the right spot. With Chicago, Zach LaVine is a bit of a question mark heading into today's game. 21 points, 2 assists in that Friday game. That's a good outcome considering that he is dealing with a shoulder issue. And, you know, just in general, LaVine has been great. He is outperforming expectations. Folks that did not fade are doing quite well. Coby White in this game, 21-4-4 with 5 threes. So picking up the pace there is Coby White. Again, this is against the Nets. The Bulls lost this game, by the way. The Nets have been playing very hard to start the season, and they're not as bad as they will be down the stretch. So this is still in somewhat expected territory, but it's worth pointing out that the Brooklyn Nets are 3-3, and they might have even been 4-2 if Detroit didn't get off the schneid in the last one there. Giddey, 11-6-8 with two steals. So he starts pointing in the right direction. And then Dosunmu, 10-7-3 and two threes. And this is a team that plays three times in the first 4 days this week. So for your streaming needs, you might be looking at even like a Jalen Smith, who went for 5-5 with a block and a three in his 14 minutes. He's been a little bit iffy on the injury report so far this season. Really a problem solver if you have a two center format, or if it's a deeper format and you're in need of a big man. Not only is he giving you good per minute production, but he has that theoretic upside in the event things start to go south in Chicago. But for that, for that angle, it's a 3-3 start for Chicago with LaVine doing well, which serves both LaVine and the Bulls well, which actually accelerates them towards something new. I don't know if it's tanking. Whatever that something new would be, if they can turn the page from LaVine, that's going to increase the value of Coby White and Josh Giddey. Players like Jalen Smith, if Vucevic happens to get traded, or he, not really a injury type, but if he starts to get shut down, you might see that Jalen Smith upside that we've been looking for a couple of years. Dosunmu is an interesting streamer in a three games in four days kind of a situation, though it's a packed schedule. We get 15 games on Monday, and I believe it's 14 games or 13 games on Wednesday, as the league takes the day off on Tuesday for the election. All right, I think that's it out of Chicago. No great revelations there. The Lakers, though it feels like they're on every night, did not play over the weekend, but they did play in Toronto. We'll talk about the Toronto side in a little bit. A lot going on in the Toronto side over the weekend. I was not ready to be moved the way that I was moved during the Vince Carter retirement ceremony over the weekend. And with all of the events that occurred surrounding that, I was not ready for all of that. But as far as the Lakers go in this Friday matchup, another huge night from Anthony Davis. Now, he has popped up on the injury report with a hip issue. He's probable for tonight's game. That's kind of okay. I don't know that even myself as an Anthony Davis fader, you know, a non-truster of his durability, I'm not looking at that hip injury and saying, oh, that's the thing we got to watch out for. I think that this is just sort of, just being very cautious with the injury reporting out of LA. Hopefully it doesn't deteriorate. And because I'm actually really enjoying the way that Anthony Davis is playing basketball. When he was really dominant late in his New Orleans days, not in the unhappy late part, but when he made the playoffs, I believe they played the Warriors in the first round. You really thought that the world was Anthony Davis's oyster, but he just did not play tough. He had all of the kind of off the court sort of, the angling toward LA stuff going on. That was, it just didn't look and feel right with Anthony Davis for like 3, 4, 5 years. And now he's out there throwing his weight around. I'm not convinced that he can handle the lateral movement needs in today's NBA. But in terms of everything else, he is really, really stepping into his own later in his career and dodging the injury. So despite the fact that I've faded him personally in fantasy leagues, which at this point doesn't look like the winning position, but there's a long way to go, I'm actually really happy that he's doing extraordinarily well. Rui Hachimura was not able to keep his foot on the gas. 9 points, 5 boards, 1 assist, 2 threes, and that's it. So the 2 threes really saving this line. 33 minutes. So the minutes are there, but the production is going to be spotty. So if you have a big night, you're going to want to consider trying to use that night to package him in a deal. LeBron, 27-6-10 with a steal and 5 threes. All things looking good for LeBron James. D'Angelo Russell, he is on the injury report. I don't have the most recent update for him, but we'll hit that in the next show. 19-6, 3 threes. Everything good there. Reeves has an ankle issue. He's a little dinged up, but he's playing through it. 20 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 12 of 14 free throws. He is a Sports Ethos B150 guy that we have everywhere. Excellent start for Austin Reeves. And then I think that's it. Dalton Connect, still not getting it done in fantasy leagues, but I think he'll be good later on in his career. Moving us along to the last Friday game with the Indiana Pacers, the Tyrese Haliburton stuff continues to be distressing. I've got a decent amount of Tyrese Haliburton. I unfortunately got the 7 or the 5 pick in like 70% of my drafts. So I took the swing on Halliburton quite a bit. Now, he had 11 and 11 in this game, 6 of 6 from the foul line, 1-3. No steals, no blocks, 33 minutes. Every time I turn on a Pacers game, every time I get in the car and the Pacers are on, it seems to be a lot lately, I see Tyrese Halliburton lining up for a big shot at the end of a game. And he's made a couple, but he's bricked a ton of them. And the confidence level with him is definitely something's going on there. It's been 6 games. The Pacers are 2-4. Now, they're really in a hard spot right now. Miles Turner's already been banged up and has missed some time. He played in this one. 30 minutes, 12 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 1 block, 2 threes. But the unfortunate major news out of Indiana is, of course, Isaiah Jackson, Achilles, rupture tear. I'm not sure which one it is. I just know that he's out for the season. And I wonder, you know, I watched him early in the preseason and I said, and you guys know this because I said it on air, it's like something doesn't look right there. And I hope that this wasn't one of those things where like a hammy wasn't good and then this wasn't good and it just one thing led to the other and then that Achilles just went. He's out for the year. He was somebody that he was just lined up for a big year, being the backup big with his stat set, with what we know he can do with his playoff run last year. It was just lined up that he was going to be a top 100 guy at minimum, even if he stayed in a backup role all season. So he was a key piece of my personal strategy to have him as a backup center on all of my fantasy squads, which I did. I actually started fading him a little bit because Mogbo came along. We'll talk about that a billion times for the rest of the year, probably. But Jackson gone. Now the Pacers, no backup bigs. They're going to have to go and look at Obi Toppin as a backup big. Jairus Walker, you know, I think they're going to piece this together until they can somehow get out there and get on the free agent big man market and find like a Bismack Biyombo type out there. But this is big. And what I think it might do for Tyrese Halliburton is sometimes things get so big and bad that you have to get your confidence back. You have to step up and do what you need to do. And so if this is purely a confidence issue out of Tyrese Halliburton, and now they've got their backs against the wall, 2-4. They got to start winning some games right now, 1-3 away. So they've been on the road for 2/3 of these games. You know, I'm not sure where they're playing tonight, but it's probably at home, odds-wise. One way or another, he has to start producing. He needs to be the guy, and that's going to be the pressure that he's going to start taking, you know, locally, in the news. It's all going to come together, and of course it's a buy-low moment for Tyrese Halliburton. But beyond that, and you should definitely do this, guys. Try to get Tyrese Halliburton on your squads. He could be had for a second rounder right now. He might be able to be had for a third rounder right now. One way or another, try to get him on your squads. If he is a degraded version of himself all season long, I'll take the L. I don't mind. But there's a very good chance that this is just a blip in a long season and he needs to, you know, get his act together. He gets his act together and you guys can get some profit. But I do think beyond the buy low question, which is kind of low hanging fruit, what people who drafted him in the mid first round want to know is, are we getting mid first round value this season? Are we getting back end of the first round value? Are we getting middle of the second round value with Tyrese Halliburton? If you buy into Tyrese Halliburton, you're probably going to get either a break even or better. That's not the question here. It's for those of us who can't swing that deal because everybody's sort of hip to it. If you have Halliburton, you're not going to be selling Halliburton. What is actually the profit here? Am I going to be in a hole because I drafted Tyrese Halliburton in the first round? That's the thing that we're trying to figure out. And that's the thing that I think we're going to find out real soon with him. Otherwise, elsewhere within that roster, you're kind of trying to figure out who might pick up the pace. If, you know, Miles Turner and whatever replacement level center are filling those center minutes, and you start to see maybe Obi Toppin play at the five, you know, maybe Jairus Walker play at the five, you know, that's going to make some power forward minutes available. I'm looking at Aaron Nesmith, who only had 10 minutes in this game. He's battling. I forget the kind of injury he has right now off the top of my head, but he's questionable for tonight's game. And I wonder, can he clear the injury issue and then step into this? I've always loved him as a nine cat guy. Maybe lost a little bit in the shuffle. I've seen him on waiver wires in a few leagues, even deeper leagues. Can he come back and be a top 100 guy just consistently? That's a question I have for this roster. Benedict Mathurin, 19.6 boards, 3 assists, no steals and blocks, 1-3, stat set issues for days. Can he be more consistent and climb up over the cut line? And really that same question throughout, you know, the rotation at large, that's you know, in a nutshell, what I'm looking for there. All right, let's get out of Friday's action. We'll get into the Saturday games. Give me 1 second here to clear this out. Okay, Saturday's games. I'm going to start with Boston and Charlotte here. Of course, we had all of the drama with Grant Williams going on, and I think that spiced up the action and gave Boston a reason to play. So once again, Grant Williams has did a disservice to his team with his mouth, which is a common occurrence. A 113-103 win for Boston. Jason Tatum went big, so no issues there after getting chucked. Horford, a down game, and this is where I think this is the year that you can't really trust Al Horford. Unfortunately, love his fantasy game, love his career, but there's going to be too many of these 0.6 rebound, 5 assist, 1 steal games with 4 missed shot attempts. There's going to be way too many of those to make the good ones, you know, worth hanging on to. Luke Kornet got into the action. The Unicornet, somebody that 4 or 5 years ago we were extremely excited about in Minnesota, of all places. 19 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. 6 of 6 from the field and 7 of 7 from the foul line. This might be the best line he has all season, but, you know, my guy, Nemi Ishketa, you know, he might just clear him. And that makes it no fun because I don't think with Ishketa being as well-positioned to be useful for this Boston squad, I don't know that if Kornet's also useful that there's going to be enough for either of these guys. Kato only 4 points, 3 boards in 15 minutes. Kornet, if you want to try him as the flavor of the day in Boston, I wouldn't hold it against you. I just don't know if it's going to pan out, though we would love it to. And there's been some rationale in the past for Kornet to be productive like this. He's shown this, but in the past when he's gotten the minutes, there has been a ceiling. I do think that physically he showed up in this season, having taken another step up the ladder. I don't know if it's enough to hold up over the long term, though. The rest of the box, very normal. Another very productive game for Derek White. Peyton Pritchard, 22.6 threes. Had a little bit of a light one in the game prior to that. So you might have been wondering, is the Pritchard show over? Well, it's not. And it might not be all season. And he might be a top 50 guy if he keeps it up. But I would probably position him as more of a top 75 to 100 guy. And then let's see how it goes. If it starts going south real quick, that valuation could start going south real quick. Because we just don't know how committed are they to this deployment. And of course, Jaylen Brown out in this game. And that's going to be the story. If there's one or two guys missing every single night for Boston, then Peyton Pritchard will be a top 50 play. If it's not like that, for whatever reason, then he's going to start sliding down. His rise or slide will be very, very quick based on those factors right there. On the Charlotte side, we have Grant Williams, the aforementioned, as a guy that people might be thinking, hey, could he possibly have value, you know, with the center situation being what it is. Nick Richards now on the injury report and day-to-day for the most part, so we just don't know what's going on with him. But Grant Williams was not productive. And again, this is Boston. It's his old guys, and they didn't want him to do anything. So that might come into play here, but he hasn't really been productive too many times in the last few years. So it's hard to trust him right now. He's more of a, if you need a gamble of a streamer at any point in time, say Nick Richards continues to stay out, maybe you'll catch Grant Williams at the right time in the right place. And that will be valuable for you, but that's very optimistic thinking. I'm not sure I'm going to be looking to do that anywhere. Brandon Miller got back in this one, still on the injury report, 16-4-6 with 2 steals and a block. So a definite get right game. But we got to see him stay healthy to be happy about what's going on there. Miles Bridges, he's having some very slow nights. And, you know, a couple times I wanted to attribute it to the defense. And this is true. This is Boston. This is a team that matches up real well with him. He got the Mogbo treatment in one game. So he might be a buy low here. But just for what it's worth, noticing that the stat lines have not been great for Bridges so far this season. The lines that have been great, LaMelo Ball, 36 points, all sorts of goodies, and he's just rocking and rolling, and people who drafted him have to be feeling great right about now. And then Trey Mann, when Miller's in the lineup, Trey Mann, not as necessary, 10 points, 3 assists. So it's probably the case that you can move on from Trey Mann if you're in a shallow, standard, intermediate format. They'll probably be better options for you. Just remember, though, If the injuries start coming to strike again, especially the key guys, the scorers in Charlotte, Trey Mann is pretty much plug and play, ready to go. Let's move out of this game. Let's get to Orlando and Cleveland here. Again, this is Fantasy NBA Today presented by Bet Online. My name is Aaron Brewski. I'm taking you through all of the weekend's action. And then later after this show, we will do a look ahead show and we'll look at all the action tonight. And then you guys can get your questions in. Go ahead and get your questions into the Discord right now. We'll answer them in the second show. And the link for the Discord is in the show notes. Okay. Orlando and Cleveland on screen, somewhat ready to go. The unfortunate news, Paolo Banchero out for 4 to 6 weeks. That's not new news. We've known that for a bit now. But what is going to be the next step here for Orlando, and what's that going to look like? Franz Wagner in a rematch of the playoffs against a Cleveland team that's clicking on all cylinders, 6-0 Cleveland, that is. Franz was able to put up 17-8-6 with one steal. That's it. 1 of 3 from the foul line. No other cash counting stats. So on the surface, this looks good. But in the details, it's not that great. And it comes against a very good team. And it comes for an Orlando team that's lost their best punch. And they're going to try to figure it out. So don't worry too much about Franz. But this might actually, you know, it's not always the case that when somebody goes down, that somebody else actually improves. Now he's going to face top defenders more often. It's going to be a tougher grind. We'll see if Orlando has what it takes to capitalize. Now, it hasn't been the case that Suggs has been slowed down. Suggs's start this season is phenomenal. 28 points, 8 boards, 7 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 7 of 8 from the foul line. He only hit 1 of 7 three-pointers. So he could have actually done better in this game. 10 of 20 from the field. Injury concerns are really the only thing that folks should be concerned about. And those probably are a little bit overwrought at this point. He has been mostly healthy for, say, the last year or two. And that's you know, kind of the more important indicator rather than going back into the past in his first couple seasons. So I don't know if the market is caught up that Suggs is this good. Now, he's not going to be this good the rest of the way. And then when Banchero comes back, it's going to come back a little bit. I think that the Kentavious Caldwell integration has been slow. I think that when you measure his first half of the season against his second half of the season, that KCP's second half is going to be night and day better. That's going to come at the expense of Suggs, I think, all things equal within this team. Wendell Carter Jr. was sort of, I don't want to say he was carried off the court, but he was helped off the court, and it might not be good. I don't know what that means yet. We'll find out what that means. But that's another cog that won't be, hitting for those guys. Mo Wagner, 14-5-2 with 4 of 7 from the foul line. That 2 was steals, by the way. Wagner is going to score. He's going to hit a couple threes every so often. He'll have better free throw than he had this last night. He'll get you some moderate boards and not much else, and generally be efficient from the field. And it usually, in low minutes, piles up to late round value. If he can get to 20 minutes, it's late round value. If he can get to 28 minutes, if say this is his new role going forward, and for however long Carter is hurt, probably a 125 guy. His game doesn't usually expand beyond top 125, but he can be useful. And if you're in a deeper league where centers are needed, actually saw Wagner go for a massive bid in 200 player format with 8-cat 200 player format fab of $1,000. He had a $400 fab bid, but people have been known to fling their money around those places. So not sure how instructional that is. It caught my eye. And Wagner was on my list of pickups, but I had a couple higher than him this week. Anthony Black, 28 minutes, 7 points, 6 assists, 1 3. These aren't go get Anthony Black numbers, but you know, he's been mentionable. And I don't know what that means. It's not a pickup mentionable, but he hasn't been completely dead. So maybe he can turn the corner in a month or two, that Anthony Black. But beyond that, I think that's all. Oh, Tristan Da Silva, 20 minutes, 17 points, 5 boards, 2 assists. You know, between he and Isaac had 2 steals and a block in his 17 minutes, but not in a 3, but not much more. 5 points, 4 boards. which one of those two guys can become really, truly fantasy relevant? I think Isaac is fantasy relevant as long as he's just around because, well, one, they paid him a lot of money. Theoretically, he should be on the floor. We know that's not going to be the case, but he's going to have pop. But can Da Silva have pop? This is the opportunity. This is the time we're going to find out. I'm not probably grabbing Da Silva much of anywhere in this current situation where we don't know too much about Wendell Carter Jr. We don't know, is he going to actually get minutes? Is this actually going to be a thing? I'm not dropping anybody of value. If I have a stream situation or if I've got a dead roster spot and I just want to see if I catch lightning in a bottle, he might rise up the list a little bit further. But it's worth watching those two players to see if either of them can get momentum while Banchero is out. On the Cleveland side, more of the same. You know, Mobley continuing to be great, and one of the reasons that we were up ahead of everybody, had him in the top 20, and we were able to get him in the third round of drafts almost wherever we wanted. It was tough. There were a lot of people, though, I would say that had him maybe as a top 30 guy, and they were able to snipe him from me, and I hate you guys for that. But 14 and 12, three assists, one steal, one block, one three, and really – this is just the bottom, folks. It's just going to keep getting better for Evan Mobley. As long as he can stay healthy, it's just going to keep getting better. Jared Allen, slow down finally. 2 points, 11 boards, one steal, one block. That's it. Let's see that happen a second time before we start readjusting. What I had basically done is kind of put Allen in my head as a top 30 or 40 guy in this configuration with the injury to Max Strus really putting a lot of pressure on the top four guys to be very good. Allen, that was where I had him. This would bring him back if this becomes the new norm where it's great game, off game, great game, off game. I might be more of a top 40, 50 projection for Allen, and we'll see. It'll be real interesting to see what happens when I release the next Brewski 150 prior to the in-season tournament. I don't know. It felt like it was a long way off, but now it might be as soon as like a week or two from now. I have no idea. But we'll get together and we'll do another B150, not with the 400 hours of research, but a solid probable 50 to 100, who knows. That'll be fun to see where we rate Jared Allen. Garland, great, 25 points, all the goodies. Mitchell, 22 points, cruising. I think ranks-wise, I'm not sure where Mitchell is right now, but I would say you have to be pretty happy with anybody in a Cleveland uniform that's upright if you have them in a fantasy league. Okay, let's see, where are we flying to next? Looks like next up, that's funny. I did the Friday action. That's hilarious. You guys can laugh at me all you want. Memphis at Philadelphia. Let's go to a place that's equally as funny as me doing a Friday game instead of the Saturday games. I guess you guys just get bonus. Philly and Memphis. Okay. Well, that was a night. Philly and Memphis. Keith Pompey, been on the show, sent out a tweet, and I was like, quickly, let me get my producer's notes up here. I'm sure Andre's screaming at me right now, telling me that I'm doing a Friday game. There's other things he's screaming at me about as well. Memphis at Philly. And just to kind of clean that up, I did the Orlando-Cleveland game from Friday. We're going to be doing something else with Orlando and Cleveland over the weekend here. Anyway, Memphis, Philly, basketball game, chaos. Like Keith Pompey was on the show. He sends out a tweet. Reporters got punched by Joel Embiid. And then eventually that became a shove. And you know, when you're in the locker room and this kind of stuff happens, and if you see it from his seat, I don't know what he said since then, Keith. Eventually one day we'll have him on the show and we'll talk about it again. What you see is probably just like an arm, you know, going like this. And to take that action against a reporter in that setting, oh boy, that's a big deal. Obviously, the reporter way out of line with his column, way out of line. You don't do what he did. And there's plenty out there that you guys can go read up on what that reporter did and why that wasn't cool. Probably more interested to hear what they're going to do with the reporter than I am what they're going to do with Joel Embiid. The league's going to have to assess that he's healthy and then give them whatever suspension they're going to give them. The fight over that, I'm sure, will be very intriguing if you're into medical stuff. But I think that this, it's been uncomfortable you know, for Philly. Like, there's all sorts of crap going on. I'm sure they knew about this Joel Embiid knee stuff. I'm sure they knew, like, that the first couple weeks he probably wasn't going to play. I'm sure they've been ready for all this stuff, but they're just taking shots left and right. And Joel Embiid, I think, is legitimately pissed right now. I think Joel Embiid is legitimately pissed that he's not on the floor. I think Paul George is legitimately pissed that he's not on the floor. I bet this Philly team is going to play with so much piss and vinegar. Now, Paul George is coming back, I believe, for tonight's game. And then Joel Embiid, if I had to guess, is real close. Now, that suspension is going to come into play. And I don't really care how many games he misses on the front end here. Like, you know, we took Embiid in places. Embiid, like, every time I would think, okay, Embiid's going to fall, I'm not going to take him in this draft because I've taken him in a couple drafts, and I just don't want to have that much Embiid in the portfolio, so to speak. And I'd just be like, well, let's see how far he falls. Does he go to the third round? No. Nobody in a high-stakes setting was willing to let that guy fall past, like, mid to early second round. So everybody's got this Embiid problem on their plate, so to speak. And we knew it would be bad in the front end. And once he gets going, that's the key. Can he stay healthy? Can he hit a rhythm? And this Philly team, can they hit a rhythm? You know, Paul George coming back will be step one. Joel Embiid coming back will be step two. And then that from there is going to determine everything. Now, as far as the game itself goes, as I bring up this box score, I'll just talk about the Philly side first. Go a little out of order here. It's been a little disappointing for Andre Drummond. 4 points, 9 boards, 1 steal, no block, 1 of 7. This is the problem with relying on Drummond. This is the problem with sort of betting into Drummond. It was looking very good there, especially early on. I mean, he was kind of playing really well, which is not the norm for Andre Drummond. He's great at stats, not great at real basketball. Now the stats didn't show up. Joel Embiid coming back soon. I think you're probably looking to bail on Drummond in some way, shape, or form at some point in time if you're sitting on Drummond as this show rumbles into its next phase. Kyle Lowry saw 21 minutes there, 10 points, not much there. I don't think anybody's biting on Lowry. Maxey, 23-6 with 3 steals, 4 threes, 8-19. That's actually a low line for him lately. And he has been doing just fine answering criticisms that his numbers go down without Joel Embiid on the floor. Kelly Oubre's been serviceable, had another serviceable night. I think this team's going to be a little bit of a stay away from them team outside of the main guys as they reintegrate Paul George. And then ultimately they reintegrate Joel Embiid. But piss and vinegar, guys, I think you're going to see a Philly run. They're 1-4 right now. They're going to get those guys back. It'll be a little bit messy for those, you know, one or two games. But then after that, I kind of foresee, like, out of a 10-game stretch that they win 7 or 8 games in weeks, say, 4 or 5. All right. LOL, LOL, LOL. Memphis Grizzlies, just laughing at the chat. Jaren Jackson, 27 points, 6 boards, 3 steals, 2 blocks over the weekend. Alternating great games like this with the not so great games. So we want to see a little bit more out of Jaren Jackson. But the fact that we're seeing these games, that does a lot, I think, for his value around fantasy leagues. He has been an enigma over the last year. These are the types of lines that we want to see out of him. Super efficient, 11 of 16 from the field. You know, 3 of 4 from the foul line. Big steals, big blocks. Great game for Jaren Jackson Jr. Can Santi Aldama keep it going? Well, yeah, he can. 10 points, 13 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Didn't get a 3, but that's okay. He got 35 minutes, and it just feels like he's going to be a survivor in Memphis as it's all said and done. But that said, when Vince Williams comes back, that's going to be low-key the biggest challenge for him this season. And that's not anytime soon. But if you're looking to try to get ahead of the Santi Aldama value loss that might happen if everybody stays healthy and Vince Williams comes back, now is the time to package Aldama in a move, because I don't think anybody even thinks about Vince Williams right now. But if he comes back, he's a 30-minute guy. That's coming from somewhere, so keep that in mind. Jalen Wells keeps showing up on the radar, and the film actually looks pretty good for him. 15 points, 5 boards, 2 threes, No steals, no blocks. I don't think this is a run out and get him moment, but it's a file it away for the future moment because he can actually be a good player in the league, I believe, based on the small amount of film that I've seen. Zach Edey, double-double with a steal and a block. There was a moment in that game where he got a dunk. He got a lob from Ja that he got real fired up. Edey did, that is. And it actually was somewhat comedic because he was, Edey was very fired up and Morant was less so and having more fun with it. But you know what? Hey, this makes Edey salvageable in my eyes because until he had a game like this, it was getting bad. It was getting real bad. And basically what we were hanging on to and talked about with Doc in one show is you're just sort of like, okay, I'm going to give him 3 weeks. Well, this is why you give a young player like this 3 weeks. You just don't know, you know, how long it's going to take for him to figure out the speed of the game, especially at his size. Things move quick. He does not. He's going to have to figure out how to move his body at the speed of the NBA play. And that's what he did in this game. So maybe he's figuring it out. Ja Morant, 18, 6, and 12 with two steals. Very inefficient around the edges. Six turnovers, no threes, 6 of 8 from the foul line. Not great. We want to see him kick it into another gear here quick and start making some headlines and start taking over, because this version of Ja, I don't think will meet the ADP hype. And that's okay. Scottie Pippen Jr., another great game. Dude, just don't drop Scottie. Just don't do it. 12 points, 13 assists, one steal, one three. 3 of 3 from the foul line. This guy's just good, guys. He's going to play no matter what. He'll get his 20 minutes no matter what. He'll be the last man standing in Memphis if people get hurt, no matter what, barring his own unfortunate situation. Don't drop Scottie Pippen Jr. Just don't do it. Big hello to all of you viewers out there on Twitter and YouTube. Thank you guys for stopping in. This is Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online. I am Aaron Bruschi. Running solo, trying to get the right games. Like, we need somebody to like shoot something at me if I start breaking down a game from 1992 or something like that. Okay, what do we got next here? Oh, we have that game. Yes, we do. The Sacramento Kings at Toronto. This game was, I believe, the first game of the day on Saturday, and I thought, oh, what a nice way to start the day. A calm Sacramento Kings game featuring the Keon Ellis, Jonathan Mogbo Bowl. I was actually pretty fired up for that. What I didn't realize was I was stepping into the Vince Carter retirement ceremony, which was an entity upon itself, and then all of the Drake stuff. So it was quite the game. And Sacramento lost this game against Toronto's whatever unit you want to call it, their C unit. Sacramento refuses to play Keon Ellis full minutes. I get it. I know what they're trying to do there. I don't agree with it. It's not smart, but I get it. They're trying to position Keon Ellis as a bench player so everybody can stop asking them questions about Kevin Huerter and what they're doing there. I believe they had Colby Jones in a starter's jersey at some point in time for some practice. Maybe that's signaling that Kevin Huerter is going to be sick again for tonight's game. For me, I think that what they're trying to do is make Keon Ellis earn it, the proverbial earn it. The problem with this is he's earning it every minute he's on the floor. And it's not about Kevin Huerter being bad, because he's been okay. Sometimes he's been good even. He just doesn't defend like Keon first team All-NBA defense Ellis does. Keon Ellis contributes offensively. The entire team shifts their entire personality with Keon Ellis on the floor, and they become scrappy and scary, and they make things happen. And poor Kevin, he's fine, but the fifth offensive player on a team that has four players that need the ball, not necessary. So they dillied and dally. They started Doug McDermott, and that's fine. You know, Doug didn't play that bad. Yet another offensive player that sort of needs the ball to be useful. But they just let Toronto get comfortable. Toronto just played well after that the entire game for the most part. So that game was that. There was comments from Drake beyond, after the game or during the game about DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan had funny comments after the game about Drake. The Drake situation is just sort of pathetic. You know, Drake types in life always get figured out. But, you know, here we are talking about Drake. The Keon Ellis stuff to me is top of mind just because – there has been a significant dropping of Keon Ellis out there. Somebody knocks on the door to the studio. There has been way too many drops of Keon Ellis. And in this game, Keon Ellis, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 points, 1 3. Pretty empty stat set after that. 27 minutes in this game, which was definitely aided by overtime. Also, Kevin Huerter not playing. But 2 steals, 2 blocks, guys. I mean, he's already a top. I haven't looked it up since last game, but he was a top 110 guy in 17 minutes. I mean, you have to play in a league with like 8 people for him to not be valuable in your league. And this is the low point. It's just going to get better for him. So there should not be really a dropping of Keon Ellis unless your teams are so stacked that you don't need to deal with the Keon Ellis situation. Like the top 75 value that he can provide you is not helpful in its current form because currently it's 115, and that's kind of a pain in the butt for you, right? You don't know if he's going to do that in his, you know, he had a DNP. He had an 11-minute game, I believe. And you don't want to deal with 11 minute. Is he going to scrape together a steal, a block, and you know however many money counting stats? You don't want to deal with that because you got plenty of top 75 guys. If you play in a league with 12 managers, if you play in, and these are aggressive managers, if you play in anything that's deep at all, and you're currently getting 110 out of a guy, and he shuts down half of the floor, and the team looks miles better with him on the floor, and yeah, they might be stubborn and they're not going to play him now because they're trying to pump up Kevin Huerter's value. They're trying to do whatever they're trying to do in Sacramento. And it's still this good. Eventually the cream rises to the top. Keon Ellis is going to be great. So I don't know why there's so many drop questions for Keon Ellis. I don't know why I was able to pick him up in competitive, deep, high stakes leagues the way that I was over the course of the weekend. Everybody else was great. Monk, 21 points, four boards, 4 assists, 2 steals. 3 threes. If Monk wasn't scoring, the Kings were really struggling at times in that game. He was great, but statistically, DeRozan, 33 points. He went nuclear late. Full stat line for him. Sabonis, 17, 20, and 10. You know, for a game where they kind of struggled, there were a lot of stats for these guys. Keegan Murray fouled out, but 16 and 10, a steal, a block, and 2 threes. Guys, Keegan Murray, this is the bottom, and it's only going to get better. So just keep getting in on Keegan Murray. De'Aaron Fox playing with some kind of a pinky ailment on his shooting hand. This is a big year for Fox. This is why I went in heavy on Fox this year. He's going to play through all this stuff. He went 0 of 11 from 3. Maybe it's the finger. Maybe it's not. He's probably not going to quit unless there is a serious reason to do so. So finger injuries. Sabonis played through one last year. That there is no indication right now whatsoever that Fox is considering any time off. And this 0 of 11... frankly, it's an indicator that he's been playing so many minutes. And this is another reason why not playing Keon Ellis is dumb. I mean, it's you have Fox out there now defending his ass off against top-tier talent more often because you got Huerter next door or whoever next door. And you could have Ellis taking that assignment and Fox keeping his legs underneath him and being more effective in the efficiency game. And I'm sure that's where this will eventually head. But Fox is going to be great. He's going to be great all season. And it's going to be fun. And he's playing for the Supermax. So there you go. Let's check out the Toronto side of things where Jakob Poeltl continues to have a nice early season surge, 13-9 with 2 steals and a block, 3 of 4 from the foul line. I want to say Poeltl is 15 of 18, 14 of 18, something like that from free throw to start the season. Maybe something clicked there. We don't know, but maybe something clicked. Early sample sizes, right? Davion Mitchell had a real revenge line, and I'm saying that facetiously. He was 4 points, 4 boards, 7 assists, 5 steals against his old team. I don't think it's going to happen no matter how many minutes he gets. That shot just needs way more work. It's not going to happen this year. I think something of a shooting coach getting in there and doing something extraordinary with him. That's the only thing that unlocks his fantasy value for the rest of his career. And it's sort of sad because he's one of the best defenders that I've seen in the league. RJ Barrett, 31-9-6 with a steal. All that background noise is a cue for me to put earphones in and take the sound off my computer. 10-26 from the field, that RJ Barrett, he got interesting. He got Keon Ellis as an assignment. Keon Ellis drew RJ Barrett and did just fine. I know some people locally were trying to put some buckets on Keon for that, and that's definitely not the case. RJ, 10 of 26. This is a great sign for his fantasy value right now that he's going to get the rock and kind of be the primary guy. Efficiencies have always been the thing that have dogged him. This might be the sell high moment and then getting out of the RJ Barrett business, because I think Toronto wants to tank, even though they've been playing real hard out there. And you expect that out of the players and the coaches, but eventually something has to give there. Agbaji, 22 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 4 threes. Okay, I finally add Agbaji to my ad boards in fantasy leagues because we never really got to see this in the past. Now, on the floor, how he's playing, he's extraordinarily quick. He's making plays. He's looking like he's getting it. So, guys, there is something to the idea that Agbaji has taken a step forward. What we don't know is if he has taken a step forward in the critical areas of steals and blocks, and that he will be, similarly to Bilal Coulibaly in Washington, can he do both things at once? Can he score and then also get you the defensive stats and then keep it all together and keep the efficiencies in a good spot? It's a helter-skelter game being played in Toronto, and I think the jury is still out as to whether Agbaji can stay above the cut line all season, but at least he intrigued me, and that's the first time that that's happened. Grady Dick, 22 points, 3 threes, 7 of 7 from the foul line, 5 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals. A lot of you guys want to know what's going on with Grady Dick. 38 minutes in this one, so the minutes are going to be there, guys. I mean, that's probably the key thing here. The questions that I have is efficiencies, 6 of 17. Certain times he looks very good on the floor. And then certain times, it's like the dribble is so high, I don't know how he's going to ever get a shot off. And it's two things can be true kind of a deal. I think he's going to alternate good games with bad ones. And then when the guys get back, that's going to be kind of the downside. I think there's going to be some games that are going to make people drop Grady Dick. And then he's going to probably be good enough to stay above the cut line in, say, 75% of the rest of the games in 150, 200 team format, or probably player format. So that's probably a sign for you guys to just kind of hang on and not worry as things get bad. But certainly if you can make a move right now when things seem super great for him, I think that's probably the best thing you can do. But I think also your opponents will be wise to that. Chris Boucher went nuclear. Well, nuclear is a little much. 24 points, 5 boards. No steals, no blocks, but 4 threes. And he was torching the Kings. I mean, and he was lifting whatever was coming his way. And that was fine. They were all good shots in rhythm for the most part. Boucher is low-key good for this squad in this iteration. I don't know if he will be a top 100 guy this season. I don't know if he'll be a top 150 guy this season. But I think he's going to flirt with it. And that's fun. For a team that we really didn't know if anybody beyond the big three were going to be worth a thing in fantasy leagues. So that's great. Mobo. I liked it so much better when I thought it was Mogbo. It's Mobo. 16 minutes, 6 boards, 6 points, 1 steal, 1 block. Why am I excited? I shouldn't be. It's a bad line. But aside from the 6 personal fouls, which some of them are a ticky-tack variety that rookies tend to get in this league, it was a plus 17 in this game. Mobo, after Poeltl fouled out, first of all, Rajakovic has a ton of confidence in this guy for where he's at in his career, which is 5th team in 5 years, going back to JC. This guy is a close friend with Scotty Barnes. Not that that really factors too much in here, but like, the path that he's taken and how he's gotten there and how he's got the coach's confidence. And when Poeltl comes out of the game, it's like, Mobo, you're going in. Mobo takes a 8 or 9 point Kings run and stops it. He was defending Malik Monk in this game. He was defending basically anybody. RJ Barrett, Keegan Murray. I mean, he was out there doing the thing and he was doing it very, very well. This is going to be a bumpy ride in the next month or so. I think these sort of 15 to 20 minute games are going to be annoying. I think they're going to be fairly valuable. Mobo, by the way, has been a top 125 guy this fantasy season. It's the same conversation with Keon Ellis. If this is the bottom, you can deal with this. And then if he can ever get 25 minutes of run per night, if we're in March and April, especially for you guys that have a lot of playoff formats, we're in March and April and this guy is packing 25 minutes in a game, in games that start to get really loose, where the stats start flying all over the place, and he's getting you close to, you know, 2-3, maybe even 4 steals or blocks in a game with double-double like numbers, good field goal percentage. The free throws were 2 of 4 here. I don't think he's become a good free throw shooter overnight, but maybe he can be somewhat passable in that area. So I think Mobo fever is going to keep getting bigger and bigger. And there's nothing about what Mobo did in this game that didn't make me super confident about his future. All right, let's get out of Toronto here. Let's head on over to Chicago at Brooklyn from, oh, pardon me. I swear that screen is going to mess me up again. Let's get to Golden State at Houston. And this one had a ton to talk about as well. There's, like I said, there's so much to talk about here on Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online. This is Aaron Brewski running you through Saturday, Friday, Sunday's action. And then we're going to do another show later to get you ready for a massive 15-game night. Check out the layup line. Gonzalo put together a great piece breaking down all of the fantasy angles for 15 games. Fantasy Pass members get that article and so much more. Get into the Discord where you can get your questions answered. The link for that's in the show notes. All right, let's keep it moving. Warriors, this team's, you know, limited without Steph. They went into Houston and they won in an overtime game. There's a lot of stuff on the Houston side of the line that requires talking about, but let's get to the Warriors side here first. Green, double-double, you know, not much to talk about there. Trayce Jackson-Davis still on the outside looking in, 6-3-3 in his 13 minutes. So he's continuing to show that if that can ever change, if he can get up to 20, that there might be something cooking there. He's probably worthy of minutes. I know the great Rick Kamla thinks so. Andrew Wiggins got back on the floor, 15-3 with 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 threes, 7 of 10 from the foul line. So kind of a classic Andrew Wiggins line there. My personal thoughts on Wiggins is as long as he's healthy, and I think this was just sort of an early season issue, I think he's in for a big season. I think he was completely underdrafted. I think they're going to rely on him to be the offensive force that Jonathan Kuminga, frankly, thinks he should be. 23 points for Kuminga, 6 boards, no steals, no blocks, 2 threes, 7 of 10 from the foul line. I mean, Kuminga's got the big name and the big price tag right now, but give me Wiggins all day long. And Buddy Hield, 27 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 6 threes. I think we got most of the Hield out there. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Sports Ethos readers got most of the Buddy Hield out there. We just trust that wherever Buddy lands, that he will somehow be productive. And right now, he is literally playing the Klay Thompson role. Literally, the Klay Thompson role. All right. Kyle Anderson showed up in this game, 9 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. It was the first sort of Kyle Anderson game, I believe. Don't quote me on that. It's been very quiet for him. If he can be a thing, I think that would be something that folks want to watch a little bit more closely if he gets another good game under his belt, because he's shown in the past he could be a top 100 guy. It's not very likely right now, but in the past that's been the case. So just sort of keep an eye on that. Moses Moody, 9 points, 2 assists, nothing cooking in his start. We're probably going to see D'Anthony Melton back probably sooner rather than later. If I had to guess, Steph plays in this one here tonight. I don't know if we got news on that yet or not, but the Melton thing with his back, he's going to have to, in his first week back, really start getting into the stats and productivity and really making his mark, because I think there's too much smoke there with the back injury. It's unfortunate because of what he could have been minus the back injury. But I think that's if it doesn't happen really quick when he gets back, I think folks would be wise to just already, if they haven't, just kind of get out of that game. And it's unfortunate because we liked Anthony Melton. Pajemski, 12 points, 6 assists, not much else. And I think the people that faded Pajemski heading into the season have to be pretty comfortable with what they did. I want to say we were probably on the fade side, not like an outright, this is a bust guy, but the minutes are there, 38 minutes. The productivity is not, and it just doesn't seem to be coming into place yet. for Bajemski, and it might not be the case that he can overcome some of the statistical hurdles. And then 2 of 4 from the foul line. I want to see if he can get his foul shooting correct. He was a good foul shooter in college. On the Rocket side, it was a much more juicy discussion because we got Şengün 21 minutes. Şengün right now is averaging 5 minutes per game in the fourth quarter. I saw that Jonathan Fagan of the Houston Chronicle had that stat the other day. Şengün is being faded by his own coach. Ime Udoka is not about it. It's defense. It's the question. Udoka had some interesting comments as Andre's trying to get this show to stay underneath an hour, and I'm laughing. I was like, there's no way. Udoka is saying the quiet part out loud is that with Şengün on the floor, off the floor, pardon me, that they can get Jabari Smith going just a little bit more. Jabari had 21.7 boards, 1 steal, 5 threes in this game, 7 of 18 from the field. Jabari Smith being sort of shoved into the corner has been low-key one of the more damaging, it's a little strong, but damaging aspects of the whole Şengün phenomena that's occurred in Houston, because Jabari, obviously drafted high, really doesn't, I mean, that's such a waste of a talent, you know, for whatever you think he is. I mean, him really being relegated to a spot-up shooter that, you know, plays out on the perimeter, you know, on defense, it's a lot. And especially when you consider that he can protect the rim. And the big concern with Şengün is rim protection. So at any rate, the fight for the soul of the Houston Rockets is still on. And I don't think they're ready to just hand it to Şengün. So if you did a victory lap regarding Alperen Şengün, you might want to walk that lap backwards until it's actually appropriate. Until we know that he can be the 30-plus minute guy that people want to crown him as. 14 and 10 with 4 assists, 1 block, 4 of 6 from the foul line. So just a block in the cash counting areas, 21 minutes for Şengün. It's a fine line. He's going to, when he's out there, get the ball, do a lot of pivots, a lot of post play, you know, a lot of screen, you know, just he's going to be the center of everything. And that works as long as you're converting everything on offense and also playing well defensively. But if that's not the case, then people start to get a little pissed off. Amen Thompson, 34 minutes in this game, 18-11 with 4 assists, 1 steal. Don't drop Amen Thompson, guys. He's too good of a basketball player, and he's too aligned with what Ime Udoka wants out of his basketball squad, which is defense. Don't drop him. Also, burying the lead. Tari Eason, 27-9 and 4 steals, 3 blocks, 3 threes. Possibly the line of the night. Tari Eason, this is when you saw him in preseason as a rookie and he was getting all those bonkers lines and everybody was over the moon about Tari Eason. This is the probable payoff for all of that good tidings that they displayed toward him. This is an amazing line. I don't think the Rockets are comfortable with him playing 35 minutes a night. They're just not. Like, his injury situation is considerable. I think that they would like to slot him in for like 20 minutes a night, 23 if it's going well. And in those 23 minutes, I think he's going to be a late round value. I don't think Tari Eason should go dropped in fantasy leagues. He also might as well be Ime Udoka reincarnate. He is that kind of a player. He makes things he makes the game grind to a halt. He's got a great stat set for fantasy purposes. I think the bottom of this roster you should be buying into with Tari and Amen. And then Jalen Green, he had his first stinker, 2 of 13. He played 34 minutes in this one, 7 points, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. I think the talent he's shown actually outweighs anything bad we see in at least like 2, 3, 4 games. So just take this one and move on. Fred VanVleet, 2 of 12, 11 points, 5 assists. I wonder how much of the decisions to bench Şengün might come back to getting guys like VanVleet back in rhythm. But, you know, as it tends to go, when a coach plays a guy 21 minutes, usually the next game they'll come back out and feed him. And if that doesn't happen, then that should be a major concern, I think, for the Şengün folks. I think that, you know, the top, this guy was drafted in the second round. I had him more as like a top 40 guy. I forget the rank. I knew I wasn't going to get him because everybody's over the moon for him. But, you know, if he is in this realm, you'd be looking at the top 50. And then in a nine cap formats where the turnovers really hurt, it could even get worse from there. But it's early. It's early. And I think that Udoka's fine to send a message to Şengün that, look, it's defense, not offense. All right, let's get out of Houston. We're going to try to pick up the pace here so we can get all the games in. We got Milwaukee and Cleveland. Not a ton of action. That's a great game to pick up the pace with. This is a Cleveland Cavaliers team that I've already covered because I already covered their Friday actions. I'm not going to cover them much at all. I will say that Jared Allen sort of did get back at 15 and 12, but no blocks in that game. Nothing relevant or pertinent per se. So we'll keep it moving over to the Milwaukee Bucks side. All the questions about a slow start, all the questions that I had about what happens if this team starts slow and then they start looking for the exits. Well, hey, here we are. Giannis, 34, 16, and 9. That gets a lot of headlines. Not so much on the headline side. One steal, no blocks, no threes, 4 of 7 from the foul line. I think it's a good game to sell with. But I'm not a big Giannis guy to begin with. Damian Lillard, I think he decided he wanted to go out fighting in this game. 41 points, 13 of 24 from the field, 10 of 15 from three, 4 rebounds, 9 assists. I do think this is a get-right season for Lillard. I think that the issues off the floor involving his divorce certainly were not helping him in his start in Milwaukee. I think he's going to try. I think he'll be the one that tries to keep the band together, and Giannis is going to be the one that's looking for the exit. Gary Trent Jr., 3 points, 1 of 10. Players, when this kind of big stuff is going on around them, you know, the secondary and the tertiary players, they are the ones that get hurt in these situations. So like Brook Lopez, 6 and 6, 2 blocks. Trent, 3 points, 1 of 10. Like these things start to occur when the team tightens up. And the team tightened up in the sense that it was 51 combined shots from the main guys and not so much for anybody else. Bobby Portis, 10 points, 8 boards, 5 of 10 shooting. Nobody, yeah, only 4 players had double-digit shot attempts in this game. Let's get out of Milwaukee and into San Antonio. First of all, shout out to Greg Popovich. Hope everything's going okay for you, as he's going to be off for the next week or so on the most recent reporting that I've seen. And the Spurs, 3 and 3 to start. Minnesota, 3 and 3 after the loss to the Spurs. Lots of odd stuff going on in Minnesota. I mean, Julius Randle gets his 21 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal. That sort of disgust you can hear in my voice is the decision-making going on at the ownership level, where they're currently fighting over the team. To bring Randle into this group, you know, and I'm not a big cat guy, but that whole thing, at least they got DiVincenzo out of the deal. DiVincenzo, 14 points, not much else. He did get 3 triples. I think that until they can get the core credo of this team, the core vibe, whatever you want to call it, like until they can actually get some momentum on their side, that it might actually be slow for DiVincenzo. I still have a lot of faith in DiVincenzo. I think he's a mid-round fantasy guy, back end of the mid-round fantasy guy. I'm trying to get as much DiVincenzo as I can right now. It's going to be bad though. I think it's going to be bad for maybe like a couple weeks, maybe a month, until they can figure out what the next thing they have to do in Minnesota to be competitive is. They're not going to compete with Julius Randle. They're just not. Anthony Edwards, 21 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 threes. I think he's going to be just fine. Will he hit the number 6 overall B150 projection that I had for him? Maybe. Still on the board for him, but it's just going to be bad for everybody else in that box score. Rudy Gobert, 10 points, no steals, no blocks, 3 boards. Oh, this will be the year that I win on the Gobert fade. Mike Conley still plummeting. And again, this is what happens when you bring a Julius Randle into your squad. Naz Reid, 11 points, not much else. This is what happens when you bring Julius Randle into your squad. On the Spurs side, Julian Champagny, bring him up first. He's just one of my favorite B150 plays of the season. 7 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, 1 block, 1 3. 29 minutes there. It's been meh for him. But you know what? I had him rated at like 110 or something. So that's what he's producing at right now. And I kind of just think he's going to keep his minutes, though. We will be watching. Devin Vassell should be returning at any point in time right now. So we're going to be watching to see if he could do that. Victor Wembanyama, he had the one shock game, one big 5x5, but it's been mostly meh since then, but he'll be fine. Chris Paul, 15 points, 13 assists, three triples. I think people are really seriously, and for good reason, asking, did Chris Paul go extraordinarily underdrafted? And the answer is yes, he did. Where will Chris Paul be in a month or two? Top 50? Question mark. That's kind of the question on my mind right now. So maybe you can unpack that in terms of evaluation. Zach Collins had a low-key triple one in the bottom of that box score, but he needs to be way better than that to hit the radar. Stephen Castle, 3 points, not much else. He's going to be a waiver wire guy, methinks, for at least another month. And then we'll see if he can create any momentum for himself. As I reach into the next box score here, we have Washington at Miami. Washington at Miami. And on the Miami side, Bam Adebayo finally had a big one, 32 and 14. So that'd be a line that I'd be trying to move Bam Adebayo with. Of the things that would be worth our time right now, there aren't many. In fact, there are none. So let's move it along to the Washington side where Alex Saar is really doing a good thing here. 17 points, 6 boards, 4 blocks, 1-3, 7-11 from the field. You got to feel great if you took a chance on Saar. I mean, a lot of the indicators said, this isn't the year for the guy. I was kind of eschewing my own rankings every so often and just being like, I'll just take a Saar here and a Saar there. And I feel like I probably should have done that a little bit with the rankings. It was impossible to project him higher, I don't think. I mean, you sure somebody else probably did it and they should get the credit for making that projection. But, you know, and just the pure sense of what we saw and what we kind of could expect, I think he's definitely overperforming expectations. So congrats to him. Jordan Poole, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Jordan Poole's everywhere. 6 cash counters, 2 3-pointers, 21 points. Keeping the ball moving, Jordan Poole. Bilal Coulibaly, 22-8, no steals or blocks. He did get the 2 threes. I need to see him do both things at the same time. I need the defense and the scoring before I'm going to declare it a Bilal breakout. But, you know, I'm happy with it. I think most people are. But for it to be a true Bilal breakout, got to have those two things happen at the same time. Kaishan George is showing up with minutes, 27 minutes, 6 points, 8 boards, 1 steal, 3 blocks. He's on my watch lists. It's weird, but he's on my watch list. Kyle Kuzma didn't play in this one, so that's a little bit of the reasoning there. Kispert, 31 minutes, not much else. Not so surprising. Low end line for Jonas Valanciunas. Bob Carrington, a lot of minutes. Still not enough traction. 8 assists. Everything else, well, the 4 steals are nice, but everything else still very inefficient. But his film looked great in college. Wouldn't be surprising if he can right the ship. I just don't know if it's going to be now or more likely like 2 months from now, which makes the hold position right now quite tenuous. Okay, we are moving. We are moving. I'm sure that's making production so happy. And I kid, because we want to give you guys a comprehensive effort here. And we don't want to cut corners. In fact, that's what we pride ourselves on, is we do not cut corners here at Sports Ethos. And we never will. Utah and Denver. I don't want to call it a get right game for Denver, because I don't know if they're getting right anytime soon, but they did wallop Utah by 26 points in this one. Kyle Filipowski was not able to take advantage of a start, and that's been very unsuccessful from a fantasy perspective. 2.6 boards, nothing else there. Cody Williams continues to get placeholder starts and do nothing statistically with them. No surprise there. Walker Kessler, he's doing just fine. 5 blocks, 18 and 14 there. So that part of the equation is good. Colin Sexton, 10 and 4. I get drop questions for Colin Sexton all the time. I'm just not there. I mean, I've seen this messy effort out of Colin Sexton so many times. It is going to end up in top 75 value. Maybe there's an issue at the end of the season with tanking. We'll deal with that when we get there. I don't know if this team is good enough to worry about that. I think they might just lose 0-6, the Utah Jazz. Taking an early lead in the tank race out there. Oh, you know they want themselves some Colin. What's his name? Colin Flagg? What is it? I'm forgetting the big rookie's name. He's not relevant right now. I need to save all the brain space I can get. John Collins, 15, 5, and 5, a steal and a block and a 3. John Collin on a lot of my fantasy basketball teams. This is what he's going to do. They're just going to play him 22 minutes until they ship him out of town. I think that's all that's interesting here. Unless we want to go into the Eubanks estuary And honestly, it might get there, folks. We might be talking about Drew Eubanks at some point in time this year. But yeah, Cooper Flag, that guy. Thanks, Andre. Always there for me, man. You're always there for me. On the Denver side, I almost skipped them because it's Denver and I don't know how much Denver I can take. But the it's the same thing over and over again. It's not even the fantasy side, it's the reality side. It's the Kelvin Booth is you know, he's got his guys and he's mad at Michael Malone, and you know, Denver is, you know, doing whatever they're doing as a result of that. In this game, they've got Russell Westbrook starting and he's going 2 of 11 from the field. 5 steals is good. 7 assists is good. Everything else is bad. You know, concussion for Jamal Murray. That just means you're going to get more Westbrook and it's just going to be more of what you did not like. Now they won and they won going away in this game, but it was Utah. So we'll see how it all kind of progresses and how long Murray is out. This team is paper thin. On the bench. And, you know, Christian Brown was kind of a run-of-the-mill Christian Brown line. I think the line he got in this one, 17 points, 3 threes, 2 steals. This is what you should expect from Brown. If you get more than that, you know, tip your cap. But this is a Christian Brown game if I've ever seen one. And there's just going to be sort of this frustrating brand of basketball until something changes in management in Denver. Will it? I don't think so. So expect more frustration along the way. So maybe Jokic and company can get salty enough in the playoffs that they can actually make some noise. And I would actually expect a Michael Malone team to do nothing but that. Portland at Phoenix, as we kind of are getting close here, almost to the end. Portland at Phoenix, more good Jeremy Grant for the most part from a fantasy perspective. Eddie Abdia showing up with 2 steals and 2 blocks. I mean, these are the guys that you expected to be productive. Kamara, 7 points, 10 boards, 2 steals, 1 3. He's kind of flirting with, you know, an ad in, say, 150-player league. I don't know if I trust it, but why not? Maybe if you need some help, if you need a healthy body. Simons, 28 and 6. 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 4 threes, 8 of 25. That's one of the big bugaboos for a Portland team. How's the efficiency going to look for all these guys? Klingon in his 14 minutes had a block and 4 boards. Is a bad game for Klingon. We usually love those 14 minutes. That'll do it for the Portland side. On the Phoenix side, we got a Grayson Allen sighting, and that was fun. 18 points, 3 blocks, 4 threes. 7 of 12 shooting in 19 minutes, a +5 that Grayson Allen. A couple of things I want to see with him is, I mean, they paid the guy. They know how good he is. He was one of their better players last season. I mean, he's bigger now. He's got the 15 extra pounds of muscle for real. And so between that and the Achilles and the new kid and, you know, what does that all look like? Throw that up in a blender and see what that looks like. This is a guy that was a top 40 guy last season without looking it up. The role changed. We think that Tyus Jones was going to be like that much of an impact upon the guy. The crew was going to stay healthy and that this top 40 player that they just paid, who's pretty damn good, was just going to stop being good. Didn't Grayson Allen drop questions, pick up questions? Grayson Allen should be rostered, folks. I don't see why he shouldn't be a top 75 play this season. We'll see if in a couple of weeks, if he's still playing 19 minutes a game for whatever reason, if that's the case. I don't think that's going to be the case. That's, to me, the most interesting thing going on in Phoenix. The second most interesting thing is Ryan Dunn, and he sort of fizzled out in this game. He didn't have any stats for the most part. 1 steal in 14 minutes, and I'm not even interested for, like, this year. I just want to see if this guy continues to develop. His three-point shot, the defense, that's the name of the game. He could be an amazing fantasy asset as guys sort of clear out of Phoenix whenever this experiment is done. That's all I got for this Phoenix squad. Let's move it along. Next up, we got Oklahoma City and LA. It was the Clippers' turn to get walloped in LA in the Shea Gildas-Alexander Bowl, which has to be so frustrating for the Clippers fans. Big line for Shea, as usual. Not his biggest line, but does the trick. Nothing in this line on the Oklahoma City side was truly noteworthy. I mean, Wiggins had 12 points, 3 steals, 2 threes. I mean, he's been getting minutes. And actually, sometimes I watch Wiggins play, and I'm like, is that Jalen Williams? Oh, no. That's just Aaron Wiggins. But come on. I mean, do you get all the good players, Oklahoma City? I think you do. Lu Dort, 16 points and a three. Not quite the game that you wanted if you took a chance on Dort. Caruso, still beneath the cut line. And I think that's more trend than, early year stuff. Maybe this changes at some point in time in the year, but I think if you thought that Caruso was going to be a late round value, if you thought that Dort was going to be a late round value, I think what they've shown us is more concern than actual hope that that's going to be the case. And I think you should move on to greener pastures. If you have either of those players, if you're in 150 or 200 player format, you could find somebody else that can be a little bit better. And it's sad because I like those guys and I think that they could eventually start producing, but maybe not this year. On the LA side, Zubac starting to slow down a tiny bit, 9 points. And again, this is an Oklahoma City Thunder box. And anytime we talk about Oklahoma City Thunder, we have to take the other team and take their box score with a little bit of grain of salt. But just 9 points in this one, one steal, one block. So a little bit of a slowdown there. James Harden, just to 12 points, 13 rebounds, just to 12 points. All defensive rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks is great, though. That really saves the night for James Harden. Same stuff from Norm Powell and Kevin Porter. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 3. He's going to be fantasy relevant this season. That's going to happen. I don't know if he's worth the pickup right now, but he'll be fantasy relevant this season. Let's get into the matchups from Sunday. Thank goodness. We had Detroit finally getting their win. 106. They're 2-5. My screen must not have updated earlier. So 2-5, the old Detroit Pistons. My win totals bet and my coach of the year bet are alive, folks. They're alive. Brooklyn came out strong in this one and then started to fade. Tobias Harris, 18 points, 5 boards, 6 assists. I think this is, again, kind of where Tobias is going to live all season. Jalen Duren got 3 blocks, 17 boards. Okay, bad team alert. This comes against Brooklyn, but I don't care. You're going to play bad teams during the year. If you're getting me 3 blocks, Jalen Duren's going to have the type of year that people projecting him higher than I did in the B150, which was very unfortunate because I love Jalen Duren, what he's all about. Just the questions regarding, can he stay healthy and his lateral quickness, and can he block shots? He's been answering the block shots question. I only got Duren in like one league this year. Pretty bummed because I think last year we were robbed of a big Jalen Duren season by the ankle injuries. Cade Cunningham, slow night, but that's okay. Jaden Ivey, 15, 5, and 5 with a steal and a block and a 3. I mean, the playing time and the numbers have been there. So good job if you jumped in so far on Jaden Ivey. Now we'll just see what this team wants to do with all of that. And as usual, no Asar Thompson update, at least at the time of recording. On the Knicks side, or probably the Nets side, we got Cam Thomas with a slowdown game, 17 points, nothing else, 6 of 17 shooting. This is the concern about the Cam Thomas stuff. Ben Simmons had at least one highlight in the game. 4 points, 6 boards, 6 assists, 1 steal. That should say it all. Dennis Schroeder, slowdown. 7 points, 3 steals. This is how it's going to be for a bad team, folks. And it might be the case that at 3-3, and especially with Detroit hungry for a win, like it could be the case that teams, if Brooklyn was walking in 0-6, teams would take the night off. But I think the coaches that are playing Brooklyn can say, hey, look, these guys are somewhat healthy. They're playing hard. You guys need to actually get up for them. But that slowdown for Schroeder, I don't know. If what was a chicken and the egg, I don't know. But it's going to be bad on certain nights for bad teams. This was one of them. Cam Johnson, 26. It wasn't a bad night for him. 26 in a full stat line. I think he's going to produce at a top 75 to 100 level for the first half of the season. You could do with that what you should, which is sell high. Dorian Finney-Smith, 9 points, 2 steals, 1 block, 2 3. So kind of barely hanging on for folks. And that's fine. Claxton coming off the bench, 22 minutes, 8 points, 5 assists, 1 steal, no blocks, 4 of 12 from the foul line. So fantasy GMs are pissed, and they should be. But, maybe at themselves for drafting Claxton because he is on a team that might tank the last third of the season. He's not starting off well, but there has been some reporting that I saw. I can't remember where I saw it, that he is going to be starting soon. So maybe they're feeling better about his health. Maybe that'll ignite some bigger lines for Claxton. All right, we've got two more games to go. We're going to call a little bit of a break. Get your questions over into the Discord, which you can find in the show notes. Fantasy NBA Today with Aaron Brewski, presented by Bet Online. Just two more games to go. I'm going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and get your questions answered in the next show when we look ahead at tonight's action. Last two games, Atlanta at New Orleans and then Orlando at Dallas. And actually, we did cover ground on Orlando inadvertently earlier in the show. And Atlanta, actually, we covered that a little bit. Maybe that was the inadvertency of it all. But Zach Risacher, 11 points, 5 boards, 3 steals, 1-3 in last night's win over the Pelicans. So Atlanta just cruising along close to 500. Jalen Johnson, big night, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 29, 9, and 8. You go, Jalen Johnson. Clint Capella, 8 points, 4 boards, 1 block, 21 minutes. Now, Okongwu did not play in this one, and he's becoming the injury risk, not Capella. It's too early to know what to do with Okongwu. I think, you know, the fact that he's taking games off this early is kind of what a team does with a player that's got a known issue, which sucks to say. It feels like this now becomes a majorly known issue. This thing's just now kind of dogging him in multiple seasons. But being early in the season, I think you kind of maybe just put him on your bench and just see what happens when he does get back on the floor. If it is the case that he keeps going back and forth between these two statuses, then at that point in time, I think it's fair to look at drop questions. Until then, I think you're just kind of, you're just moving a little too early on an evaluation that a lot of teams are going to rest their guys. I mean, like Andrew Wiggins got a couple games off, it's probably very clearly because they don't want to burn him out in October or November even. So let's just keep an eye on the Okongwu situation, but Capella's value is certainly solidified, though it wouldn't be expressed in an 8.4 rebound, 1 block dud of a game. Dyson Daniels, I don't know if it got reported or not, but I saw people close to the team talking that he has a 24-minute limit, 16 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 threes. That's a good line. Is it a breakout line? No. Are we concerned about a minutes restriction at this time, at this point in time during the season? Well, I'll refer you to my prior comments about Okongwu. Let's just see how it all plays out. But he's definitely doing just fine so far. There are big minute guys at the bottom of this rotation where you got 14 points, 6 boards, 1 steal for Larry Nance in 25 minutes. Roddy, 26 minutes. Not much cooking with this stat line. I don't think you can rely on these guys outside of a spot start here or there. New Orleans, big night out of Brandon Ingram, 32 points, 1 steal, 1 block, 4 threes. Sell. Anytime he has one of these, sell. Just get out of the Brandon Ingram business while you can. Nisi got the start, 4.6 boards, 1 steal, 1 block, 26 minutes. I just think that it's already known that Nisi is a must roster player. And maybe in a shallow league, if that hasn't happened yet, I think you could grab him knowing that for the most part, even though Zion didn't play in this one, Zion's already got question marks on a night-to-night basis. You know, what happens when Zion comes back? Does Nisi go back to 18 minutes? Yeah, he probably goes back to 18 minutes. And then in that case, he'll probably still get you a steal and a block or 2 blocks and some decent numbers elsewhere. I think he's crossed the threshold of being a late-round center in almost every format, and it's just November. So you're just going to keep rolling with that. Alvarado did not really go off. I know a lot of people put a lot of stock in Alvarado, and for decent reason. I mean, he's been a productive guy when getting the chance. And this one, he wasn't. 3 of 12 shooting, 9 points, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 3. You'll roll the dice again in the next one and move on until all the cavalry comes back, which everybody's sort of generally back in about 2 to 3 weeks. So that's going to be the case with Alvarado there. Hawkins, 19 points, 3 triples. So the fun kept rolling along there, and it will be running along for the foreseeable future. So just kind of watch that as it happens. And I think that's it for these guys. Let's get into our last box of the show. And again, we already talked about Orlando. DeSilva got the start in that last game, so you know, yay that. Wagner, efficiency issues, as we described when we did the Friday breakdown, for no good reason. Wendell Carter, he's the one that walked off in this one. He got the 9 minutes. Caldwell, 7 points, 2 threes, so still not getting it done. Suggs finally had a down night, but I'm not too worried about that. Dallas does present some challenges for teams. Wagner got 21 minutes off the bench, 10 points, 6 boards. The valuation doesn't change with Wagner on a game-to-game basis. We know what he's all about. I don't think there's anything else to talk about in the Orlando side, so let's get to the Dallas side real quick. PJ Washington's monster steals and blocks lines sort of dried up. 7 points, 4 boards, 1 steal to his name. He got a 3 as well. Gafford did not have a block. He did have a steal, but he did go for 18 and 8. So you'll take that. Kyrie, a low end 17-point effort. Luka, 11 of 22 from the field, getting those field goal percentage issues righted, at least for one night. 5 threes, 32 points, 9 boards, 7 assists. Nobody's going to say no to that. Klay, 9 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 2 blocks to float a slow night from beyond the arc at 1 of 5 shooting. Lively, 11 and 11 with no blocks. So kind of a quiet line. Okay, guys, a lot of basketball to cover, and we got to get out of here. So I'm going to quickly take us out, but definitely get into the Discord if you want to get your questions answered. The link is in the show notes. I will be answering questions on the back end of the next show. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be back, and we'll break down all 15 games heading into tonight's slate. I'll get a quick update on the news, drink a little water, have a protein shake, all that good stuff, and we'll see you guys after the break. This has been Fantasy NBA Today, presented by Bet Online, a Sports Ethos presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, and until next time, be well.